The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Veterans Day.
Yeah, man. Happy Veterans
Day. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. Your mom, of course, my dad, and everybody else who served. So happy Veterans Day to you. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, happy Veterans Day. Obviously, I'm a, you know, my family deep rooted in military. Got the group chat going. It's like 20 straight messages. So let me respond. Happy Veterans Day to all my family members and everything, and all the other ones out there. My main man Mark Zeno works here. So we do appreciate you know, everything that you guys have done, sacrifices and things like that. But yeah, it was a crazy weekend. Ups, downs, disappointment, not shocked about some things. Let's do the good thing first.
Let's do the good stuff.
Let's do the good stuff.
The city of Atlanta owning the city of Miami?
Yes. How about Brent Key and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets?
What a win.
It was a manhandling win, too.
It was reminiscent to me of, and we didn't know what Florida State was going to be, but still the way that that game went and the way we talked about it afterwards, and just a tough in the trenches, and they ran the ball great. And
the two quarterback game plan.
Very well executed.
And it was crazy because, you know, it was the whole plan. They were going to smash mouth. But then when they needed plays in the passing game, Haynes King made them.
Yeah.
Haynes King was really, really good on Saturday afternoon.
The only negative for me from that is, and I have to look, Georgia Tech beats Miami. They knock off their undefeated season. Georgia Tech's having a nice year. But if I'm a Tech fan, I can't help but wonder what if Haynes King had stayed healthy.
Yeah, man.
Because those two losses without him very well could have been. If you can beat Miami with him, you can beat anybody in the ACC with him. And look, that's not important to dwell on because it happened. But you got that win on Saturday, and again, I think week one or week zero or whatever it was awesome. Maybe some of the luster has come off of that because of how bad Florida State is.
Right.
But this isn't that. This isn't that at all. And it's a signature win. It's a signature win for Brent Key in that program in a year that has been a positive year. Certainly some ups and downs, and like we talked about with injuries, but you get a win like that, man.
It was really great. Watching them tear down the goalpost and everything was so cool.
Yeah.
So funny. But
Where do they take them?
I don't know.
Because Chattahoochee's pretty far.
Yeah, I don't know if they took it there. But yeah. I have no clue where.
Walk.
But I just thought, you know, and we could talk about Florida State. Brent Key has technically two top 10 wins.
Yeah.
You know, this season. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a great win for them. Great win, you know, because we told you and we kept saying, everybody knows Miami plays with their food.
They do.
They do.
And that was coming.
And you're waiting for Cam Ward to miraculously do some things, and he had the ball last, and Georgia Tech sack, strip, fumble, all those different things, and they sealed the win. But yeah, I thought that was just a great, great win, great game plan, and they just physically whipped Miami.
The longer that play went, I'm talking about the strip sack.
Yes.
The longer that went, somebody's gonna break.
Oh hell!
Here it comes. Here comes the Superman moment for Cam Ward. But now the Tech defender got back there, and they knocked the ball loose, and they land on it.
Yep.
And that was it, man. They made the play.
Yes.
They made the big play when Cam Ward had been Superman for Miami all these different weeks. And you're right. They play with their food. They just had been in these games against teams that if you're a top five team in the country, you should be beating teams like Cal. You should be beating teams like teams like that. And you're just kind of messing around with it. And after a while, somebody was going to jump up and get you. It was Tech, man. It was Georgia Tech on Saturday.
Great win again for him and that organization. Just watching the excitement on Coach Key, because they were low-key, offensive lineman scowl, but you can't help but smile.
Because we talked to him the week after they beat Florida State, right? Like, we tried to talk him into being excited about it.
Yeah.
And we finally, he was like, yes, okay, behind the scenes, yes.
Yes.
We do a little fist pumping, we do a little celebrating, but the process is the process, and we got a 1% whatever, like coach stuff, which is fine. But I do hope that they're enjoying that one, because they certainly
they
deserve
should.
To.
And they should. And then the other team in Atlanta went to Miami.
The significantly more surprising one.
Said, what did we say? Lay it all on the damn line.
Yeah, man.
Lay it all on the line.
Play like you got nothing to lose.
Yes, dude. And I don't know if that's the biggest upset ever, because I didn't watch, and I would never say, I didn't watch an MLS game until Atlanta United. Did not watch one. Yeah. Did not watch an MLS game until I started watching.
I used to watch a lot of Seattle Sounders games.
Until I started watching Atlanta United.
Yeah.
And I was like, and people say the greatest upset in MLS history. I don't know nothing about all that. All I know is that when I turned on this game, I was like, okay, Georgia's tricking off this game. Let me see what I put on one of the other TVs.
One more thing to mention about Tech, and then we'll get back to United. Yeah. Brent Key is going to be on with Dukes and Bell at 5:30.
Okay, all right, so there we go.
Fans and everybody, but Tech fans specifically, you want to hear Coach? He'll be on the show this afternoon.
There we go.
This evening at 5:30. But all right, back to United.
But I was like, you know, just watching them. First of all, we talked before while we were doing off the cup, how, like, I wanted to go fight Suarez. Like, how he threw Brad into the net, and for Brad not to, because if you ever seen Brad is like my height. Brad is a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Brad finna go lay hands on Suarez.
Yeah.
I really, really did. But, you know, he kept his cool. That was some crap. But I think just the fact that they just went down there and laid it all on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, really did. And they, you know, and everybody, and I like how Miami's coming back. Congratulations on winning Supporter Shield. Yeah, home. Have fun with that.
Yeah, cool. You won the regular season trophy.
Yeah, have fun with that.
No one cares about that until they lose in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And look, if it was a different soccer league where that's how you win the championship, fine.
Right.
But this is the MLS where they have playoffs.
Yes.
And then you get a trophy at the end if you win the championship.
Right.
So it's a supporter's shield and an MLS cup.
Right.
You're trying to win cups, not shields.
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
Yeah,
in American sports.
Yeah,
all right?
Man. But great.
No, when they pushed Guzan into the net, I'll be honest with you. Like, Atlanta United has been so frustrating slash kind of out of sight, out of mind for a while now. Like, I don't know that I've had an emotional reaction to anything that's happened with Atlanta United for a while. That's the most fired up I've been in an Atlanta United moment in years.
Yeah.
I was ready to drive down to Miami and fight Suarez myself. Cheating son of a,
you know what?
Nice bleach hair job.
Yeah, man. But they got,
so that was to tie it, though.
Yes.
And then they did all that nonsense. And then Atlanta United, and I love that they did this, and controversy, whatever. Play to the whistle. One of the Miami guys is faking it and writhing on the ground in pain, and all the Miami guys are telling him to kick it. No, play.
No.
And they kept playing great ball. They score a goal, and they win the game on it. And look, I mean, you know.
Get you some of that, Messi.
Take that.
Get you some of that,
take
Messi.
That. I mean, it literally is the best team in the history of MLS.
Yeah.
They just lost the first round of the playoffs.
Everything, all those different things.
Against a team that sold their roster for parts at midseason and fired their coach.
So, Rob the guy?
He's been the guy for me.
I'm just curious. Sometimes it's right up under your nose.
Yeah, it's a good day to announce it.
Yeah, sometimes it's right up under your nose.
It's a good day to make the announcement, right?
Yeah.
Welcome aboard to our full-time manager, head coach, whatever you want to call it, Rob Valentino.
You would think so.
Because what else could you say in a job interview that could be better than that?
I don't know.
Like, what could someone come in and
would
say
be one
in
of those
a job
situations
interview?
If they don't, somebody else will hire him because of it?
I don't know.
You know, you just don't know how that's going to go and factor out. But, yeah, congratulations to both teams in the city, Atlanta United and definitely Georgia Tech. Just great, great wins for the program. And it was fun. Now, the damn basketball team, we'll talk about them another
time. Oh, yeah.
We don't.
But it's not even Christmas. We don't have to worry about their losses.
But that damn professional football team, man. Andy, I just don't know. And again, they didn't, you know, you didn't lose any traction in the South and everything like that. But damn, like.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Like,
that's fine. I'm happy that's true, but
like,
that's not.
Like, I got an opportunity yesterday to do the pregame show, pre and post with Chris
which,
Gofford.
By the way.
And so.
You sounded great.
My man.
It was very nice to listen to.
And so, talking, you know, before the game, and my whole thing was do not let their coach get a game ball for his first ever NFL win.
Yep.
And damn it, if they played like straight trash yesterday. I mean, defensively, you got the stops in the second half that you needed.
Well, they played much better.
But then
this
Scanlon Valdez dude, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, I don't care. Good for him. Don't get me wrong. Good for him. But damn, y'all let this dude do y'all like that? It was supposed to be Alvin Kamara and Selm.
Yep.
And they didn't do nothing. Yep. And now the first play of the game. Okay, fine.
I'm surprised. In New Orleans, I'm surprised they called that.
Yeah, okay.
Surprised they called
it back. But they called it back. They called it back. They didn't do nothing.
Nope.
They averaged 3 yards a carry as a team. They didn't do jack, you know what. But for this offense to struggle the way it did and still have opportunity because your damn kicker missed it. I know you are supposed to always have your teammates back. I truly believe that. He ain't my teammate. Make the damn kick. I know one of them was blocked, whatever. Dude, make the damn kick. You're an indoor kicker.
Yeah, man. Like,
make the kick.
And those are makeable kicks,
yes,
too. It's not like we're talking about. And look, I understand the first win against the Saints, he made four of them and a 58-yarder to walk it off.
Great.
That's his job.
Great.
Like,
exactly.
That's what you're supposed
exactly.
to do. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. But that was just bad. And then you get an opportunity. And, I mean, yeah, Kirk did it, you know, in the playoffs, throwing the ball under the sticks and everything like that. You got time running out. You can't spike it. You have no timeouts, and it's fourth down. And so you're trying to rush there. They got out, and, you know, even if Ray Ray gets out of bounds, it's fourth down.
Yeah.
And so you're going to turn the ball over downs anyway. But I just thought overall, I mean, Bijan was freaking amazing yesterday.
Yep.
That damn touchdown run, I was like, the 7-37, the first one probably on fourth down.
Yeah, the second one, probably the best play he's had thus far.
Just, it was awesome.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. For the defense to bow up in the second half, I think of the six possessions that that New Orleans had, five of them were three and outs, four straight three and outs to end the game, continuing to give the offense a chance to get it done. And look, to be fair, as frustrating as the offense was, they moved the ball down the field and got into positions to score points.
Mm-hmm.
And credit to Ra. He actually took the points.
Yes.
He never takes the points. He doesn't. He never takes the points. And now he's never going to take the points again.
Damn it.
Like, now all these guys need is one little reason to not kick the field goal. And Younghoe gave him three reasons to not kick the field goal yesterday.
Yeah.
And if he just makes one of them, I heard you say this on the post game yesterday. You're like, one of them got blocked. All right. So make one of the other two, and then you go to overtime.
Something.
And the game's in overtime. Or make both of them.
And you win.
And then you win the game.
And you win.
The game.
You win. And I know that. And I know that there's nobody feels worse than him. All right. So it ain't no about Paolo. It's about doing your damn job, dog.
Yeah.
Just do your damn job. I know he's won big games, all that other crap. What does that have to do with yesterday?
Has he?
Maybe
this is me going too far.
No,
you tell me if it is.
Okay.
But I think that there is something to what the team has been and what the team is now. It's almost like being a closer for a mediocre baseball team. All right, he made some game-winning kicks for 3-8 football teams.
Mm-hmm.
This team's good now.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. They have playoff aspirations. They're going to be in close games. They've been in close games. He helped them win the game earlier in the season against the Saints. Certainly helped them.
He was great.
But, like, he's having his worst season that he's had.
Mm-hmm.
He's missed more kicks this year already than any season he's had as a Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it a little pressure? Too much pressure? I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea, but it's at least a reasonable thought, because is he just not good? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's so much mental with kickers.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Like,
it is.
Obviously, physically, you have to be able to do it. But just like closers in baseball, like, you get that momentum going, and you look like the best one in the business. Goes the other way.
Duck the worst.
Yeah.
You had to go.
You missed a couple makeable kicks against your rival on the road and you lose.
Yeah, but damn it, I just wanted them to win that damn game. Because
they're better than them.
They're better than them, man. And damn, new coach energy rises again.
They outgained them by 100.
Yes. Yes.
They out-time of possession them by 10 minutes.
They were, but the thing about it, you
never have
the quarter?
Ball in the first quarter.
They didn't have the ball in the first quarter. You end up 10 more minutes?
They didn't have
the
ball in the first quarter and they out-possessioned them by 10 minutes. Yeah, it's a bad loss.
Unbelievable.
A really, really, really bad loss. All right. We haven't even talked about Georgia yet. They're still alive. People always do these things of, like, trying to make you feel better. I don't know. I mean, it's true. Georgia's still alive. Damn, Ole Miss just took it to them on Saturday afternoon. We'll get into that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you don't get the results you want, but obviously they outplayed us today. They came out with the increased urgency we talked about. It took us too long to get started. We got going and thought we had a chance to close that game, but they made plays at the end of the game to win it, and they deserved it. Great job by those guys.
Is that what it felt like to you? Because I know we spent a lot of the week last week talking about the, you know, don't sleep on a new coach energy and all that kind of stuff. It didn't seem like the Saints – I mean, they I guess they got off to an okay start, and we talked about it a minute ago. If that Taysom Hill play doesn't get called back, maybe you would say that, but like
they didn't do anything special.
It didn't feel like they came out with a ton of new coach energy. It felt like the Falcons came out with low energy.
Why is
and
that?
I don't know.
Why? Because
I don't
this
know
is
why.
The thing. Because I got a chance to listen to Dave and Wes.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the coin toss and Grady and the players not even shaking hands and everything after the coin toss. And I'm like, hell yeah. Okay, it's personal.
Okay.
Let's go.
Good.
So that's what I'm saying. If it was that personal, then how do you come out as flat as you did?
Because they seemed flat, right?
Yeah. And I'm just like, how does that happen? You're in a rivalry game in this building,
yeah.
You know, and you can say what happened last year. If you want to put that as a motivation, whatever, whatever. But, yeah, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
You know, and I know that early on, and maybe that could have took them out because of how long the Saints were possessing the football. I don't know. But it was just bad. It was flat. I mean, you saw some good things in the passing game later on when they got it going.
Sure.
But it didn't result in a lot of touchdowns. I mean, obviously, Bijan with the runs, with the hell of a run that he had. But, yeah, just like when you were moving, like you said, you were moving the ball. It just wasn't like effective when you needed to be effective.
Yeah. I mean, this was one of our keys on Friday. We said it differently, but we were saying the same thing. Start fast.
Yeah.
Like, if you're worried about that new coach energy or whatever, you know, go
punch
out there
him in the mouth.
Ready to rock and punch him in the mouth, and they didn't do that. Like, they got off to a really bad start. Like, Kirk was 1 for 5, no yards, couldn't get anything going, and then still, second quarter, third quarter, most of the fourth quarter, they did a really nice job getting drives going, possessed the ball, ended up with 10-minute more time of possession in the game, which is crazy given the way the first quarter went. Outgained them, ran more plays than them, and would have won if they would have just made some field goals.
That's it. Like, make some kicks.
Still wouldn't have played great, and we would have been on here like, all right, maybe
you
clean this up.
You get out of there with a win.
Exactly.
You get out of there with a win.
Exactly.
And this doesn't diminish, or I'm saying diminish, not does it knock you out of contention to win the South. You're still going to win it. But at the same time, it's just like, damn.
Right.
Like, that was the first thing you would think about is like all this good credit and everything like that they've gotten is it went away. Mm-hmm. It went away. And not to say that the outside public and everything like that cared about the Falcons anyways, but this just lets them know even more. This put that even more on.
Every time they think about being like, oh, maybe, because remember we talked about this last week,
yes,
early in the week about after beating the Cowboys, because you just get more eyeballs,
yes,
when you play a game like that. Some of the narratives seem to have shifted nationally to, oh, maybe this is a team that we need to take a little bit more seriously. And then you go out and have a performance like that, and it's like, oh, never mind. No, we don't. We'll just sort of let them play in the South and take care of business against those guys and then, you know, check in on them if we need to. But they lose a handful of games already this season, Seahawks and Saints both, where you just didn't come out.
You didn't come with that. Oh, you always talk about your hair on fire and all those different things.
You played, I don't know.
Like, don't be a counterpuncher.
I don't know how to explain
it. You know what
I
mean? Don't be a counterpuncher.
It's so unusual.
Yeah. I mean,
in a 17-game season where all the narrative was new coach energy, new coach energy, new coach energy. Don't let it affect you. Come out fast. All that kind of stuff. And I guess it's one thing to say it and it's another thing to do it. But, yeah, I mean, look, winning the South is one of the goals.
Yes.
Maybe it's the goal.
Maybe.
Depends on who you talk to.
Bunk.
Not for me. I always thought this team was good enough to win the South, and then what?
Yeah.
Like that and now when they have performances like that and other performances in the season, it's like, all right, they're good enough to win the South, and maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Unfortunately. It's too bad.
Maybe this. I mean, you don't want to ever be a prisoner of the moment, but the moment was just yesterday, and it looked like ass.
Yeah. I mean, they've played 10 games now.
And,
like, we
pretty much though, you're going to have these like that.
Of what this team is like.
And that's the frustrating part about it, is because you want them to be able to take advantage of it. Yeah, teams have lost to the teams that they're not supposed to. I mean, hey, look, the Ravens lost to the damn Raiders.
They did. And the Browns.
You know, and so, I mean, things like that does happen. But, you know, we don't cover any damn team. We cover this team here. And I really thought they were going to, you know, see if they could figure out how to muster up enough to go down there and get this win in an emotional but depleted team. And they just weren't able to do it. Cam Jordan.
He was saving it.
Woo! Was he saving it?
I don't know.
Because
or is Caleb just...
He whipped Caleb's ass all game.
All game.
All game.
Mm.
you know. And then we talked about the other guy.
Luckily, he didn't play that many plays.
Yes, but when,
he was on the field, yeah. Caleb was like, "Oh crap, it's Cam Jordan again." Yeah. God, I know he looked like he turned back the clock 5 years on Caleb McGarry yesterday.
And then you look at it, you know, we said, there's another guy over there who I think is going to be a Hall of Fame player. You put the ball in their area, he's going to go get it. Talking about Tyrann Mathews. Yep. He gets it over the middle. You have a miscommunication. Kurt leads Drake too far. Yep. And it's a pick. There and so, is. I mean, just the unfortunateness of the whole game. But, yeah, I'm with you. And I said it yesterday, Bunk. It's like, okay, we know they're talking about running the South and all those different things. I said, that's fine and dandy. That's what y'all are doing right now. But what do you want to do after that? Is it all about winning the South, getting a home playoff game? And then what? I mean, because we talked about it yesterday, this is a situation where you're so far ahead of everybody in the South. Is this more or less seeding in the NFC conference? Now, we'll talk about Detroit. Yeah. I mean, for a team to win and do five damn picks,
yeah,
you know, against a playoff, I guess, caliber team. I don't know what the world's going on with Houston. They still can't block nobody, and they got a lot of injuries on defense.
They were up, 26?
Yes, they were up.
Three?
Yes. They were up.
26-7?
They were up.
And then Detroit was like, all right, enough messing around.
Yes.
And then slowly but surely, Ben, Texans got screwed by their kicker as well at the end of that game. He misses it. But, it's – to me, that's kind of where I was leaning after the last couple of weeks. Felt like you woke up and maybe that Seattle loss was the, okay, we're capable of this any weekend if we're not careful.
Correct.
And you can maybe start thinking about, all right, seeding. You're going to win the South. 4-0 in the division, win that game, you'd be 5-0. Think mm-hmm. about where you'd stack up against some of the other teams. And then a little bit back to earth.
Yep.
A little bit back to earth.
And it don't get no easier
I know.
You're talking about going to Denver with Denver's, that pass rush unit.
And that just defense in general.
With that defense right there.
Because they should have won yesterday, too.
Yes, they should have. And, you know, obviously a block kick and things like that. But, I mean, you talk about that. And then this young quarterback's playing really good.
Playing efficient.
He's playing really good. Yep. A guy who has a hell of a lot of athleticism. And Sean Payton's doing a good job of allowing him to do that. So, yeah, it's not going to get any easier for the Falcons right now. But you got to regroup and, see what you can figure out, muster up, and all those different things. Because you tricked one off, man. It is what it is. Ain't no way of looking at it. That was just a bad performance by a team who should have, I would have thought, would have had more energy to start the game.
I would have thought so, too. Another thing we talked about on Friday was, because Youngway made 4 field goals, 4 of 4, with the game winner against him in week 4, I said, well, turn those field goal drives into touchdown drives.
Yeah.
And so, as much as Youngway is to blame for yesterday, going 1 for 4 in a game you lost by 3, he stalled out at the end of those drives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had opportunity to capitalize, and you're getting yards up and down the field, and Bijan's playing great. Obviously, he got in the end zone twice, so I'm not – there's no blame on his end in this game. But they didn't do that. Like, we talked about that on Friday. Like, you got to pay those drives off. Now, you'd like to at least get points out of them on the field goal, and that's on Youngway. But stalled out and led to 4 field goal attempts, which we hoped wouldn't happen again.
Make them.
It did.
Make them. Make the kicks.
Make them.
Yeah.
Make them. Or get replaced.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to happen right now, but, like, it's closer than it's been.
Yeah, dog, because he's been struggling.
He's been struggling.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been struggling.
That's what I'm saying. You're an indoor kicker, and you're playing indoors. And that's why I leave it at. You see, but that was a big thing yesterday. A lot of missed damn kicks.
Yeah.
You saw San Fran kept missing kicks. And then, obviously, you talked about the Houston Texans kicker. I mean, it was just a lot of mixed
Broncos
opportunities.
Blocked field goal at the end of the game.
A lot of missed opportunities from the Falcons yesterday.
All right. I don't know that that's the description of the football game that happened on Saturday afternoon in Oxford, Mississippi, because one team took advantage of their opportunities and the points, by the way. Lane Kiffin taking the points.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't happen, and he did it. Here's sort of the way that one of the ways that the game ended.
Pressure! That goes down! The ball's out again! Presley Umanmuelen knocked it out, and it's Rebels football! Santarin Perkins recovered it.
Bucks in the NFL because they end games. That's exactly what Princely Umanmuelen does right here. He's been absolutely working the left side all night long. Ernest Green has no chance there as Umanmuelen strips Carson Beck. And then the other edge rusher, Santarin Perkins, is there.
You know what? We talked about just a second ago the Falcons losing to our team that they were better than.
Yeah.
Ole Miss better than Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looked.
Yep.
And it was. Yep. I mean, I know they threw the pick early in the game and everything like that. But, like, Georgia averaged 1 yard a carry.
Mm-hmm.
They shut everything down. I heard the defensive end say, he said, we stopped the run and had some fun.
Yep.
And they kicked Georgia's ass up and down the field. And Lane Kiffin out-coached Kirby Smart because everything Georgia threw at him, they had a damn answer. And I'm talking about it was a quick answer.
Yeah.
It was a sight adjustment slant. I remember the one play where they was third down, they were rushing, and you know they like to run that cross dog with them damn linebackers, and they snuck the back and replace both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have any answer. Yeah.
They did a really good job on offense after that first drive.
Yeah. And then that damn backup, dude. I was like, you sure he's the backup?
I know. That
came in slanging that thing.
Like, who's this lefty? What's this guy doing?
Yeah, he came out slanging that thing,
For him to lead the touchdown drive after what had happened to start the game was exactly what Ole Miss needed to stay in the game emotionally. And then Dart comes back in, and I mean, he's hobbled, but he played good.
He played good.
He made a lot of big throws. He ran a little bit when he needed to, but look, that game was won by that Ole Miss defensive front.
And you look at
Georgia couldn't do a damn thing.
But you know what the crazy, like the one play, like they were running a play, and Georgia, it looked like they were running it to the right. And then Ole Miss, like all their defenders went through the gap. And I was like, what the?
There wasn't a single player on the offensive line that blocked his guy.
Nobody.
Not a 0 for 5.
Dude got tackled by 5 defensive linemen.
0 for 5.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that play. I think we're talking about the same
thing. I know exactly. Yeah,
I watched that replay literally 10 times because I was like, one of these guys has to have done their job.
Nobody.
Every single one of the 5 linemen blew that play.
Yeah, man.
Equally.
Yep.
Like you said, 5 different guys could have made the tackle. 5 guys didn't.
Yeah,
that wasn't the only time that happened. Like, that offensive line happened, for Georgia got absolutely destroyed.
And this is the thing about it is that Georgia lost to them. Georgia lost to them the defense that they usually are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they lost to themselves.
Yeah, so you look at it from a standpoint where they can't block. That has been the Achilles. I know we talk about Carson Beck, but we've always been good there. And those 5 dudes, Ernest Graham was supposed to, I thought his dude was going to be, he's having a rough season. They're all having a rough season.
Ernest Green.
And then we could talk about, you know, the screen passes and all those other things. They can't hold the ball.
Nope.
They got to figure out a way. And then something you brought up, we don't block on the perimeter. We don't have those 2 tight ends. We don't have Rosie and the big receivers out there blocking. Mike Bobo, I'm not going to say he called a great game. He's so hamstrung because they can't block nobody.
That was exactly my thought.
And they can't get the run game going. A couple run plays. The one play they had in the second half is an 11-yard game. Freaking illegal formation.
I know.
And you're like,
they finally got a little bit.
Yeah, and then another play. I watched Aaron Smith tell he sat there. Mr. Referee, I'm off the ball. He sat there and said it. And then they call another one on a positive play right there. But, Georgia got their ass handed to them down there in Ole Miss. And it ain't no other way to say it. Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr., whatever, everything they ran offensively, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was really well executed. And then they knew, because the defense was playing so well, they didn't have to be aggressive when they kicked the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
They took the points repeatedly. And then eventually paid it off in the fourth quarter and late in the third quarter with turnovers and stuff. But, hamstrung's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. Georgia doesn't have difference makers on offense. I think those running backs are good.
Yeah.
But it's hard when the offensive line is as mediocre as they seem to be. And they keep running those. And I know that's part of the offense. But they run those bubble screens. And there's 3 guys tackling
there's
one guy.
There's nobody there.
There's nobody blocking.
There's nobody there.
It was like we just talked about that play where the D-line for Ole Miss got through and tackled, one ball carrier with 5 guys. It was the same thing every time they ran a bubble screen.
Every time.
It was 3 DBs on 1 ball catcher. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know how it got so bad so quick, but it sure did.
Lost a lot of good players. They did.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to some of the other big college football games on Saturday, certainly Alabama and LSU. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show, Andy and Randy with you here Monday. 20 minutes away from back-to-back NFL no-huddle. What happened with the Falcons in New Orleans yesterday afternoon and then all the other games from yesterday. One more game tonight, the Dolphins and the Chargers. Sounded like yesterday you didn't really want us to be calling it the Randy McMichael.
No.
Not like that's not like the most exciting matchup in the world. So we'll just say it's a couple teams that Randy used to play for playing on Monday Night Football tonight.
Yeah.
We'll get back into all the games from yesterday, of course, including the Falcons. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get back into some of the college football action from Saturday in just a couple minutes.
Got to give a shout out real quick to my son's football coach, Santana Hill, and Coach Nick, you know, Coach the Browns. They lost yesterday in the playoffs. But I just want, like, just because I wasn't able to go yesterday because I had to work and everything, and the schedule got mixed up. But I just want to thank him and his staff and his parents that we had. We had great parents this year, great teammates and everything. And just the thank you to him, because Donna was telling me, you know, because I wasn't there, and I told him Saturday, I can't be there, so y'all make sure y'all look out for my son. And, you know, just the accountability and everything that he held him and those kids to, man. I just Santana and Coach Nick, I do appreciate y'all so much. I don't think they know who I am. Or whatever, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I just wanted to just, you know, thank them so much. Yeah,
that's
was
awesome.
The funnest year we had playing football.
It's great.
And it was just a great experience among everybody.
I'll tell you who does know who you are. All the people at Mazzy's yesterday. What a crowd. What a great time we had for the Falcons watch party. Just absolutely packed. Like, really, really nice spot. Really, really cool. Tons of 92.9 The Game listeners. And so, you know, we're kind of doing it. We're hanging out. I'm walking table to table, handing out little sign-up sheets for people to try to win prizes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it you never know exactly who's there because of the station or who's just there because it's their neighborhood
right.
bar or whatever.
Right.
I would say probably two out of three of the tables that I walked up to were listeners, and I get the same two things more than anything else.
Right.
Two things more than anything else, and I love both of them. Well, three things. The first thing is the Hugh Douglas, Andy Randy,
right.
my favorite thing. I texted Hugh yesterday. I was like, man, your legacy lives on.
Right.
At 92.9
right.
The Game. I get that, and then I get, hey, is Randy coming? No, Randy's not going to make it. And this is my favorite one. People are always like, oh, you're not as short as I thought you'd be.
You're not as short as you thought? Really?
I'll take it. That's almost like, hey, you're kind of tall, and maybe we'll get there someday. but I'll take it, because people are like, oh, I would have thought you were going to be like this height. And I was like, no, it's because every time you see a picture of me,
yes.
I'm standing next to Randy,
yes.
and Randy's really tall. And before I worked with Randy, I worked with Jarvis, who's also really tall.
Yeah.
So I just happened to work with two really tall dudes,
oh, man.
And I take pictures with them sometimes. But, and people like stand up and be like, oh, man, you're taller than me. I'm like, yeah.
Well,
I'm a normal-sized human.
I'm glad it was a great turnout.
Me too. My mom showed up. Yeah, she had a good time.
That's good, man. That's good, dude. I like I said, doing the...
Shout out to Mazzy's and Bud Light. Awesome.
I haven't done pregame in so long, so it goes by so fast. But then it's the wait for the postgame. So I was like, damn.
You mean the game?
Yeah, the game itself. And so I'm like, okay, so I was going to go. I'm going to go. And I said, because Squidbilly asked me, like, you want the keys to the office and everything so you watch the game. I was like, I'll be all right, man. You know, I'm going to try to keep it as normal as possible. So, I mean, I can't go sit on my couch, but I can go sit at a bar.
Yeah, there's a lot of bars
around here. A lot of
here.
Bars and everything, man. The weather was raggedy yesterday anyways.
Yeah,
but, yeah, shout out to Mazzy's. And, again, shout out to the coaches of the other Browns, man. Great time.
All right. So Georgia got pretty well manhandled
yes.
on Saturday afternoon by Ole Miss. I mean, that's two losses. So, obviously, their playoff hopes aren't squashed. But you play like that against Tennessee, your playoff hopes are going to be squashed.
Yeah, dude,
it's interesting how many teams are going to be right there at that two-loss line probably at the end of the season in the SEC, which is fun. Like, it makes it fun, and now your back's against the wall, so every game is heightened and all of that. But, yeah, that's what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was not surprising. It wasn't, because you kind of figured all year this team and the deficiencies just kept showing up. And you think about all the great teams, especially the national championship team. We had great players. We don't have, especially on offense.
Yep.
One player was a generational player. Just don't have that. You don't have that. And then, you know, you lose out on, you know, you wanted to bring in some transfer receivers, and then you got the boy from Miami who got into trouble and everything,
yep.
and all that got rescinded and everything like that. So I don't know what his status is going to be. And you lose a playmaker like Ra Ra, and then the kid you bring from Vanderbilt, catch the damn ball. I know you're going to get hit. You're going to get
That's
hit.
True.
They lead the nation in drops.
They lead the nation
lead the
in
nation
drops.
Drop. That just said that says enough for you
yep.
right there. And it seemed like they didn't. And obviously, it's raining. I don't want to hear about the rain, because damn Ole Miss was so spinning in it. They damn sure was spinning the ball in
it
the rain.
It was raining when they had the ball, too.
It was raining when they had the ball, too. They damn sure was spinning it on us. But I thought, just overall, I think Ole Miss was the better team. And they got, and talked about it earlier, Lane and Charlie Weiss Jr., everything that Georgia did defensively, they had an answer for. And think about it, Bunk, it was a quick answer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him sitting there holding the football and everything like that. Jackson Dart, because Georgia played a lot of man-to-man, and it was a lot of space.
Man, that was middle of the field.
Yes, it was
wide.
It was a lot of space. You know about the one play. I mean, Alakai, you got him one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
and he just beats him across his face, makes the play, and everything like that. But, yeah, it's glaring. It is. When you talk about those five guys, we already talked about the play, but it was plays like that all day. Like, Ole Miss was in the backfield all game.
Yeah. Ole Miss has one of the best defensive lines in the country.
And you saw it.
And Georgia, the offensive line is just not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's regression for some players. I know Tate Ratledge is still dealing with being banged up, and it looked like it at times on Saturday. But just overall as a unit, it's just not good enough. It's a lot of mistakes mentally and physically, and that's what happens against a team like that. Here's the other thing about the drops, and then we'll get to some of the other games over the weekend, is it's always going to be bad to lead the nation in drops.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a player that has like home run capability or whatever, and you're a huge difference maker, and occasionally you drop it, but you can make up for it with that crazy game-breaking skill that you have, maybe you can live with it. The problem is, it's like a bunch of kind of average receivers, and they drop the ball.
But the thing about it was,
there's no equalizers.
Is that because they had greatness, and then you had those guys underneath them, like the guys you're talking about. And so,
Great second options.
Yeah, they're great second options. You had legitimate number one options, and then those guys got to be the second option. Now they're asked to be
the number one,
and it's not, and they're not capable of doing it. And if this season has not shown you that, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to open up the wallet.
Yeah,
have to get some receivers.
You gotta
in
have
there.
To get some receivers in there
because that's what Ole Miss did with that defense, and it paid off.
And it paid off because they bought that roster to beat us.
Yeah, that's right.
And they did. And
that's exactly what it was.
And whatever they brought in, as far as I don't care that they paid for them. That's like, that might be good for y'all.
That's the rules.
That was the difference making in that game.
Yeah, that's the rules. That's what you're supposed to do. If you're not doing it, then it's malpractice. Alabama beat the absolute hell.
Did not
at LSU.
All I know is this, and we talked about Jalen Milroe, and his play has been up and down since the Georgia game.
Yep.
If he was aggressive, they were going to win. Mm-hmm. Now I didn't think they were going to win like that. They beat the hell out of LSU, and he was amazing.
He was amazing.
He was amazing.
He was amazing. LSU has a bit of an issue with the read option. They have a problem with running quarterbacks.
It's crazy. You got dismantled in the second half by A&M, and you would have thought you would have made adjustments.
They had a bye week.
And you know that Jalen Milroe is one of those quarterbacks, and yet they just think out the horse. I mean, I know Perkins is out and everything like that. But, yeah.
That seems like the most likely scenario, right? Like, that roster must just not be as good as it needs to be to compete with those type of athletes. Because we talked about it on Friday. Like, if Alabama's going to win that game, they need to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs included, and they were effective, but those guys were fullbacks half the time.
Yeah, like, Milroe was like,
they were lead blocking for Milroe, and he took off.
And he was balling yesterday.
He was.
And now Alabama's back in the, you know, as far as in the lead to get to the Atlanta and play in the SEC championship game.
Well, just one of the many SEC schools that sit right now with two losses, and this thing has like real chaos potential as it comes down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If games like if Georgia beats Tennessee this weekend, Georgia obviously has two losses. Tennessee would then have two losses. A&M's got two losses already. Texas only has one, but they play A&M later in the season.
And that's going to be that. I think that that's going to be an elimination type game.
Sure, it is.
You know,
all of these are.
Ole
Miss has two losses. Alabama has two losses. Missouri hung on and won that game. They have two losses.
Woo.
Yeah.
I've been to call y'all on Saturday and change my damn pick because I saw, like, right before kickoff that Brady Cook was injured.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know that. But, yeah, I mean, it's everything is so funny, and you still got games to play. Again, Georgia has a big game this week and got Tennessee coming to town. And Tennessee is great. If we talk about that offense, they defense nasty as hell.
Yeah, they got dudes
they
on defense.
They are nasty defensively up front. They got corners. And Sampson, he might be the best runner in SEC.
Yeah, I think Dylan Sampson's probably the best running back in the conference.
Yeah.
He had 30 carries for 150 against Mississippi State.
Yes.
Now, Nico got hurt.
He did get there.
Sounds like he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But he got banged up in that game.
They're all about running the football and playing defense.
Yep.
And that's what they do. And, I mean, they come into Athens with an attitude.
And, again, Georgia's back is now against the wall. Like, they've lost two games. And go back to the beginning of the season. We talk about going on the road and all that stuff, all these big matchups. Man, it's a gauntlet, man.
Yeah, dog. It is, man. The hardest schedule in America and everything
and they
like
are.
That.
They got the number one schedule
and that's fine.
Schedule
because y'all one of the best teams. But they just did. I mean, you obviously last night – I'm sorry, Saturday afternoon was the worst of them all because they just got physically beat. Like, mistakes beat them against Alabama, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They just got Ole Miss just lined up and ran through us.
They did.
They ran, like, and I heard Coach K, and I love Coach Saban because he likes to curse on TV, and he says they went through us like blank, like a goose through blank, whatever it's called. Like, blank through a goose.
Blank through a tin horn, I've heard.
Through a tin horn.
Who does that?
Ole Miss did it to Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what Ole Miss. That's what Ole Miss did to Georgia, man.
Never used that.
It was unfortunate, but obviously you still got to find an opportunity and find ways to win football games. The biggest win in this city was Georgia Tech.
What a win!
Great win by Coach Key. And don't forget, he'll be on with 5:30.
5:30
today with Dukes and Bell. Just outstanding game planning, outstanding physicality that they played with, and they didn't get Cam Ward.
Yep.
They didn't get Cam Ward at the end.
They made the big play in the fourth quarter instead of him making the big play in the fourth quarter. And the big play was strip sacking him. Like, the longer that play went, the more I was convinced he was going to unleash one down the field.
Somebody came open.
Yeah, you know how it is. Yeah. You can't guard a guy for 10 seconds. And finally, the Georgia Tech defensive player caught up with him and knocked the ball loose. Tough look for Florida to come to the defense of Billy Napier, say he's our guy, and then be down 35-0 at halftime.
I think
that's a tough one.
Did they see this coming and like, all right, let's get out in front of this
probably
right now.
What's the opposite of new coach energy? Because that was like
Pete Thamel had. I like Pete Thamel's reasoning why he think they kept him, because he's like Severson, or all their NIL money is tied up between freshman and sophomore. They got Lagway and everything like that.
Supposedly, so
they want to keep it and everything like that. But yeah, they got Texas just straight ramrodded. Yeah.
Shout out to Indiana for finally being tested and being able to stand up to it. They stay undefeated, 10-0. And did you see the end of that BYU-Utah game? I know it happened at 2 o'clock in the morning, so why would anyone have seen it? Utah got screwed. They got absolutely screwed.
Remember I said, watch this game.
Yeah, you were right about those games.
I said, watch this game.
I went 0-2 in my college picks again.
I said, watch this game. Shout out to Dion in Colorado.
Utah's AD did a press conference after the game.
I saw that.
And he was like, and he was right.
I saw that.
It's probably not the right thing to do, but he was right. Utah got robbed.
We talked about Colorado. We said they need to win this football game.
And they did.
And they did.
Big.
Yes.
41-27. They're 7-2.
Yeah, man.
They might be in the top 15 when the rankings come out tomorrow night.
Now, I don't see why they won't be. And then Florida State, goodness gracious. Well, he fired everybody.
Good.
Yeah.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, he fired everybody.
What was the final in that
53
one? 52-3.
Yeah.
God. 1-9. How does that happen?
They losing.
How does that happen? Quit on him. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to back-to-back NFL no huddles. Kick off the noon hour, 45 straight minutes of NFL talk coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.